This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. This is the very, very first show of 2018. And honestly, I've kind of missed being here in this little studio. And today I'm joined by a very lovely, handsome boy opposite me. It is the lovely Will Hardy.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm really, really good. And I've been so excited to get you on this show for so long. Because you've constantly been this, like, just this beacon of positivity in my life, Will.
And in what respect?
I just feel like every time we've hung out, you are so motivational. Like, everything you say to me, you're constantly talking me up. And, like, Will is the kind of person that if you're at a party and a third person comes over and you don't know that person, Will will be like, oh, my God, this is Callum. And he will sing your praises to the moon and back. So I've been really, really excited to have you on. Do you want to give the listeners a little bit of background about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I used to work at Vevo and Twitter many, many years ago. I left Twitter last year. Always worked in sort of music, doing partnerships and marketing, and also had a dab in presenting. And then last year I got my own show.
Yeah,
with
you did.
My lovely co-host, who I adore, Miss Lyda Parsons, who is currently away in America, living her life, so I'm very jealous. And we do a weekly show together called Pop Buzz Presents, and we get guests on every week. We had Pink last year and Paloma Faith.
Like, no big deal.
Like,
Pink and Paloma Faith.
No big deal. And Louis Tomlinson and, you know, all the rest. That were brilliant. And then I'm freelancing at the moment, so I'm just doing my own thing, you know, focusing on me. Hopefully this year I'll be able to work on more presenting projects, and then we'll see where I end up.
And you've done so unbelievably well for yourself. Like, I remember probably about this time last year, I would say, you were saying to me, you know, that these were your dreams and these were your goals and these were the things that you wanted to pursue. And now here you are doing it, doing everything that you've wanted to do. And it's an enormous achievement. And I'm proud of you, and I hope you're
Thank
proud of
you.
Yourself.
I am. It's weird. Like, it's, you know, you kind of, like, last year was a really tough year for me, like, in many, many different ways. I think it was tough for everyone, right? And it, you know, every different respect. But for me, like what you said when we spoke last year, I was so unmotivated and was like, I don't know how to get out of this hole. And then I just woke up one morning and was like, right, I need to change everything. And then it's taken me a while, but I'm now here. And I feel like, yeah, in the next couple of months, stuff's going to happen, I hope.
You hope? No, it definitely will happen.
It's going to happen, but, you know, hope is always a good thing to have as well.
So I was talking to the lovely producer, Lissy, just before you came in.
She's
and
lovely.
She asked me how we met, and I don't actually know.
I know.
I said, I think it was in LA.
It was.
But I'm not sure.
It was. So in my previous jobs, we obviously were, I worked with influencers, YouTubers, etc., etc. So I knew who you were. And then when we was in LA for VidCon.
Wait, you knew who I was before you met me?
Yes.
And then that creeps me out, William.
No. So I knew Doug years ago, years and years and years ago from, like, NCS. And then we met at the bar, and then I met you and Riyadh at the same time. And then, I mean, there was plenty of alcohol that night, so, you know, don't remember everything.
The drinks were flowing.
And then we went to party after party.
Yeah, because I remember being in the back of a cab with you, and we just had, like, the music going, and it was just, like, good vibes. And
yeah, you jumped in my cab and then jumped out.
Oh, is that what I did?
You took the Uber ride and then you left.
Yeah, that sounds like, that definitely sounds like something I would do. Sorry about that, Will.
It's all right. I love you, so it's fun.
All right, we've got a really fun show today. We are going to be reacting to your sex confessions later on. So if you have anything that you would like to confess, please do send that in to callum@fubarradio.com. And if you just have any general sex and dating questions or anything like that you would like to discuss, send those in as well. And Will and I will be reacting to those later. We've also got a little special guest phoning in later, which I'm really excited about. I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we get into the show. But yeah, I'm really excited, and let's have a little bit of Britney Spears.
Woo-hoo. I know I may be young, but I've got feelings too, and I need to do what I feel like doing. So let me go and just listen. All you people look at me like I'm a little girl. Well, did you ever think it'd be okay for me to step into this world? Always see a little girl, don't step into the club. Well, I'm just trying to find out why, 'cause dancing's what I love. Oh, yeah. I see this guy. What's practical, what's logical? What the hell, who cares? All I know is I'm so happy when you're dancing there.
Britney Spears.
Isn't she
such
the best?
Such a naughty little song as well. And like, she was like a young woman at that age.
She was in her, that was like key Britney.
Prime.
Like when that came out, I was like, yeah, I'm gay.
Same. And like that for me is like ultimate Britney. And when people start talking and saying like toxic era is proper Britney, I'm like, no, you need to have a minute.
Well,
and I will fight you on this, William.
I'm not going to fight you. I'm in agreement with you.
Good.
Partly in the sense of that toxic defined her career.
How?
Because it was number one everywhere. It was iconic. It had the video. It was like the Dua Lipa New Rules of like when it came out 15 years ago or
sure.
whatever. It was iconic. But like I'm a Slave to You was...
But she was already like an enormous star.
But it was, that was like her next...
Like
level.
Up in it, like,
and then obviously,
okay,
shit happened. But you know, we get through that, and then she's got like three great albums
through.
Since.
Yeah,
she powered through 2007. It's totally fine.
She's doing great. We're gonna play a game now, Will.
Okay.
So this is the Wheel of Misfortune.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to direct your eyes over here in the studio, you will see our incredible Wheel of Misfortune.
Yep, it looks amazing. Very grey.
And on the wheel, there are many, many different fetishes.
Yeah.
And you're going to spin the wheel. It's going to land on a fetish. And you're going to have to try and figure out what that fetish is from the name alone.
Right, okay.
And the names are pretty tricky because they're all in, like, Latin and stuff.
God, okay, yeah.
So you understand the rules?
I understand the rules.
All right, take my wheel for a little spin. Off you go.
It's so fast. Slow it down, Callum.
I love that you were going to make the noise for me there.
Always, I'm always ready to it.
All right, it landed on Troyalism.
Can you, like, spell the first bit?
It's T-R-O-I-L-I-S-M.
Troyalism.
Troyalism.
What would Troy even mean? Troyalism...
Well, this is the thing. It's a hard game. That's...
Like, I don't know, like, dragging people sexually, or...?
No, what, like, are you thinking, like, trolling? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, like...
No, absolutely not. Not even close.
What about like a fetish for older people?
No. I'll give you a clue, shall I?
Yeah, go on.
I think I'm kind of into this.
Right. Yeah, but that doesn't help. That does not help in the slightest.
Doesn't really narrow things down, does it?
Troyalism. What about something like... It's not like S&M or anything like that, is it?
No. I would say I feel like gay people are more likely to be into this than straight people. I think. Yeah, I would say so.
Is it hardcore?
No.
So it's not
fisting?
Not
at all. It's not fisting. It could be very vanilla. It could be... Oh...
Okay, what about like, oh, what, like group sex?
Go very close.
Right, like, okay, closer. Like a frapple then?
No, but very close.
Like a dark room?
No, you go back to thruple, you were almost there. Thruple is a three-way couple.
Just so for... a three-way sexual experience.
No,
then.
no. But you're very close with that.
Four-way.
Five-way. So there's three people involved.
Yeah.
But
it's... oh, is it like a caterpillar? Like no, like a, not a caterpillar, like a centipede, like. Like all
what?
At the same time.
Like, are you talking like human centipede?
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that.
No, William. Absolutely not. No, it is the fetish of watching your partner have sex with another person.
Troilism. Okay, so elaborate on, you said you could relate to that.
Well, I just think it's hot. Like, I'm a gay man, and if I have a boyfriend or a guy I'm dating and I think they're really hot, like, of course I would find it, I know a lot of people wouldn't, but I would find it really attractive to see them have sex with another hot guy. Like, that would just be like watching porn, but better.
Would you not feel, like, worried? Because, like, he's yours and
yeah,
he's with someone else.
But then that kind of goes into the whole, like, oh, what's it, like, cuckolding? Do you know about cuckolding? And I think I'm kind of into that a little bit as well. Like, the idea of, like, your partner having sex with somebody else. Like, this, I don't know, there's something about
you're
it.
You're such an open, free spirit. I love it.
Well, I try to be.
No, you are. You are.
Thanks, Will. I think that's a compliment. You say with
it
an
is.
Evil
backhanded
laugh.
Backhanded compliment.
Do you want to take the wheel for another spin?
Yep.
I want you to make the noise because you wanted to last time.
Ready?
Off you go. of all the wheel noises we've had, that was the worst.
It is the worst by far.
All right. This is feederism.
A feeder, then?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So is it like, is it any particular size or is it just like anyone?
So just because people listening might not know what a feeder is, tell me what you think a feeder is.
So my understanding of a feeder is like, so it's not so much as you don't get off sex, like you don't actually have sex with each other. It's more about the relationship between a person is more dominant who feeds the more submissive person.
Yes.
To make them physically bigger because they find it attractive.
Yes, absolutely. That is correct. So feederism is the fetish of eating, feeding and weight gain. And you're absolutely right. So the feeder is the person that would be like, come on, have another cake while I jerk myself off.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I would not want to be a feeder or a feedee.
I think it would break my heart if I fell in love with somebody who was a feeder and they just wanted like me to get really overweight, because I would be like, I don't want to.
Would you try it though?
I don't know, like, I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. I won't do that. No, I would maybe, like, you know, like, let them like watch me like indulge in a chocolate cake now and then, but I don't think I would want to like put my body through that.
Do you think you'd get off that sexually?
What, like eating chocolate cake?
Yeah, while someone watches you.
What? Sure. Yeah, like, why not? Like, if...
Sure, yeah. Well, actually, I've got a chocolate cake right here.
But, you know, if they're like... to me, and I think this is why I'm such an open book when it comes to sex, and I'm so open to, like, there's, like, I can name, like, one thing that I wouldn't do in the bedroom.
I can guess that. I won't say it, but...
Yeah, and that... pretty much anything else I'm up for. And it's because, like, I find it, I really get turned on by the idea of somebody else getting turned on. So whatever it is that turns them on, just the act of them being turned on, I would find hot. So if they're getting like a little erection over me in a chocolate cake, then yeah, maybe I could be into that.
You're a giver.
I absolutely am, I'm a selfish giver.
No, I know you're a selfish giver. Not a selfish friend, though.
I don't give because, you know, I'm selfless. I give because I take great enjoyment out of giving.
Yeah, but you don't expect something in return, though, do you?
No, but I don't really want it. Like, I enjoy the... Yeah, this is for you. Like, yeah. I enjoy that. Oh, we're getting
what
very...
What an angel,
yeah,
aren't
we? We're getting quite personal. I like this. All right, take it for another spin, Will.
Can you make the sound this time?
Yeah, go on
bad.
Then. Here's your sound. Aren't they the worst? I like this bit, though.
Sounds like
beautiful.
A Nokia 3210 snake game. Jesus. Bringing back
look,
some memories.
Look, we're doing what we can with what we've got available, all right? All right, the wheel has landed on... Hematolagnia. They see the lovely producer Lissy used to like spell these out for me so I could read them, but she's not done that this week. She's shrugging at me. Hematolagnia.
Spell it H-A-A?
H-E-M-A-T-O-lagnia. I think there's a big clue in the name of this one.
Yeah, say it one more time.
Hematolagnia.
So is it... Oh God, this could go one or two ways. Is it anything to do with hermaphrodite? Hermaphrodite? Is that how you pronounce it?
It isn't.
No. What about... What's the word that I'm thinking of that I don't want to...
I think you're thinking of it right.
But I don't want
to
say
it. It's not to do with gender. Not to do with gender.
What's hemophilia?
Hemophilia is, and I feel like I can tell you, hemophilia is a, I don't know exactly, but it's like a blood condition where your blood doesn't clot properly.
So is it to do with blood?
It is to do with blood.
Interest of, oh, no, please don't tell me this, that's some sadistic shit where, like, you cut each other and, like, bleed on each other.
Well, kind of.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay.
It's the fetish of drinking or looking at blood.
Real blood,
like, yeah, or I don't know if fake blood would
They go to like a shop and like ask for like A positive today or something, or like O minus or whatever it is. I do not know any blood
types. But okay, here we go again. Callum McSwiggan and opening up again. but okay, so there's like in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I love Spider-Man.
And we're talking Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, even better.
First one, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Oh.
And there's a scene where he gets like, he's in a fight and afterwards the Spidey suit is all like ripped open. It's all like ripped open on his chest, and he's all like bleeding underneath on his chest. And there's like a scene where like Emma Stone is like sat with him, like nursing his wounds. And I am like, nothing is more attractive than that.
The blood.
Well, just not like, it's not the blood itself, but just something about him being like roughed
strong,
up. And,
yeah.
Yeah, like him being strong and having been in that fight and he's now roughed up and I get to care for him. Something about that is very
Are you
hot.
Emma Stone?
I am Emma Stone in that situation. I absolutely am. Yeah, so like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to drink blood.
No, hell no.
Going to be honest.
just going to throw that one out there.
Don't want to drink blood.
I don't see a problem with it. I just... In the way that you summed it up, that makes complete sense to me. And yes, I agree with you on that. But like, actually, like, what was it? Drinking
and looking at it. Looking at it, I can kind of get. Drinking,
I think it's like, this is some like True Blood stuff, which is a great show, but like...
I don't know what the health risks around drinking blood
are, either. Yeah, I'm hinting at.
I imagine that there are probably some health risks associated for the person who's bleeding and also the person ingesting the blood.
The giver and the receiver.
So I would just do a quick Google of that.
If anyone wants to try it out.
I'm not recommending trying it, but if you are going to, then do a quick Google is what... Or ask a healthcare professional.
Just don't do it.
Or just abstain.
Just watch like
just
us.
Just abstain. All right, one last spin, Will. One last spin. Go on. All right, I'll do a noise for you.
I'm bad.
I'll do a quick noise for you. Beautiful.
I prefer that one. I like that one.
Yeah, it's nice and it's like a little short one. It's nice. Yeah, it's cute. All right, it has landed on liquidophilia. Liquidophilia.
Liquid isn't spelled actually liquid.
Yeah, it's just liquid.
Liquidophilia. So just going to take a guess. Anything to do with water sports?
No.
Liquidophilia. Is it to do with saliva?
No.
Is it to do with any bodily fluids?
I'm going to give you a big clue. You're getting way too specific, and the answer is literally in the word.
So, any liquid?
just liquid. It's the fetish of immersing your genitals in liquid.
What kind of liquid? Any?
Bleach, I don't know, water.
Don't promote bleach.
Don't put your genitals in bleach.
So you're telling me that someone would happily fill a sink, put the plug down the sink, fill it full of Vimto, for example, and they're going to dangle their balls in it.
Yeah.
And they're going to somehow get off on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christ.
Sounds like fun to me.
I must sound so vanilla. Like,
what would your liquid of choice be? You went for Vimto there, which I thought was an interesting choice.
I don't know why I thought
I'm thinking Vimto. Like Ribena. Like blackcurrant squash is where I'd be at.
Grey Goose.
Grey Goose, treat
make
yourself.
Make it fancy. Well, if you're going to do something like that, make it, you know, spend the money worth it,
bit
right?
Bit of Verve Cleek, fill the bathtub
up. Why not? Some Disaronno, another Disaronno. Oh, you know what? You know what I drink? Disaronno cranberry. That's what I would have. I'd mix it up.
Have squat a great over. Time. See, it's suddenly starting to sound like fun, isn't it?
No.
Absolutely not. But, you know, apparently that's the thing that people are into. So that's great. I've got some information here about blood. So while iron is necessary for all animals, high doses of blood can be toxic for humans. And then there's some really boring information that I'm not going to read out.
Stop giving side eye.
Yeah, you know. Should we have a bit more music, Will?
Yes.
All right, this is another one of your choices, and this is Nina Sky, Move Your Body.
Oh, dream.
Are you ready for another game?
I'm always ready for a game with you, Callum.
Oh, you make it sound so naughty.
Oh, stop it.
We're going to play a little bit of Two Truths and One Lie.
Yep.
And I'm going to actually let you take over. So you're going to be in charge of this game. So you have there, I'm hoping, three facts about yourself.
Yep.
Two of those facts are true.
Yep.
And one of them is a lie.
Yep.
And I have to try and figure out which one of those is the porcupine. Okay. So do you want to take it away?
Yes. So when I was 16, I applied to be on the Junior Apprentice, and I got through like fairly far, not massively far, but fairly. And they were like, we would love to meet you. You would be a great candidate, blah, 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 blah. Can you submit a business plan? To which I asked my mum what a business plan was. So then I kind of realised that it wasn't the right thing for me to do.
How old were you at the time?
16, when it was on, about 16.
And this was junior?
Junior apprentice.
Okay.
So you could only be like 15 or 16 years old. So okay. I was like the older end of it.
Yeah.
So like it was now or never basically. But as soon as business plan came in, I was like, I am screwed. I've no idea what business I want. I didn't realise you needed to create a business.
So you didn't go ahead and be on the show?
I never replied.
Oh.
I was mortified.
Yeah, but you would have been so good at it. Like, imagine you, like, running around on The Apprentice. You'd have been, like, brilliant. And 16-year-old you as well.
Oh, fat 16-year-old Will.
Oh, I bet you were so handsome, though.
Chubby, but yeah, I'm sure I'll take a compliment.
You can be handsome and chubby at the same time. Oh, I bet you pulled it off.
I can pull off anything, you know that. I can even pull off heels, as you saw on New Year's Eve. Yeah, that's one. The second one is when I was 10, so 6 years before the Junior Apprentice, I went on Nickelodeon for a friend's birthday party, and there was maybe 10 of us, I can't remember, and the two presenters, don't remember their names at the moment, but they went through every single person and was like, do a shout out, whatever, blah, 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 and I was the final person at the end, don't know why, and they were like, we want you to have, you know, say more on camera. I was like, sure, whatever, and they were like, we want you to tell us this, 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 and we want you to end on who your favourite artist is at the time. So I was 10.
Oh, God, that's a lot of pressure to put on a 10-year-old's shoulders.
You know, it's where I got inspired by. But I was 10, and I said my bits, and then they were like, and who is your favourite artist? So I screamed at the top of my lungs, Britney Spears, really gaily.
Obviously.
Obviously, my family at that point were like, I think we've got a gay child in the family. That's basically how I came out. And the third one is when I lost my virginity a little bit later than usual people, but not too late.
Okay.
And I actually lost my virginity to a girl.
Ooh.
Who was my girlfriend who cheated on me.
Ooh.
I wasn't with her that long, but yeah, I did lose my virginity.
Right, okay. I've just taken in a lot of information, not going
to
lie.
I like to contextualise.
Yeah, no. Very good. So the first one, you were going to be on The Young Apprentice.
Yep.
But you freaked out at the idea of a business plan and you never went on.
Had no idea what a business plan was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like that's a really random thing to make up.
Yeah.
So that feels true, but I'm not committing yet.
Okay.
But that one feels true.
Sure.
And if it's a lie, I think there's an element of truth in it.
Sure.
The second one, you were on Nickelodeon for a friend's birthday party. What does that mean?
So, oh, is this where I skip up?
No, liar!
Get out, liar! No, when you have, I think it's when you have like your 10th birthday party or something.
Yeah.
It was like, the number 10 was like iconic in this because there was 10 of us. It was her 10th birthday, all this kind of stuff. She was a great girl, really good friend of mine. And you go on and you spend the day at Nickelodeon in the studios, like what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And then you go on TV every now and then, like, you know, like Blue Peter, when you stand in the audience and then the presenters come round to you.
Yeah.
And they engage you with certain bits. So I was in that bit and then I moved over to the sofa bit. And there might have been an artist there, but I don't remember. That was like a long time ago.
Okay. And then you had to do your little speech thing at the end. And then you screamed about Britney Spears and everyone knew you were homo.
Everyone knew I was a homosexual, even though apparently I came out to my mum when I was 8. Don't remember it, but sure. Sure.
Oh, okay. Oh, that also feels true. And the third one is that you lost your virginity to a woman.
To a female.
See, to me, I can't imagine you having sex with a woman.
Why would you say that?
But You are a gay man, correct?
Happily.
Yeah. And I know a lot of gay guys did have sex with women before that they came out. A lot of my friends did. I certainly didn't, but I know that a lot of people did. And, like, it seems perfectly within the realms of possibility that that happened to you as well. But I really kind of believe that the other two things are true. So...
Is that what you're committing to?
I don't know. I don't want to lose. I don't like losing. No, that's true. You did lose your virginity to a woman, and the Nickelodeon thing is a lie.
Is that what you're committing to?
Apprentice is true. Nickelodeon's a lie. Having sex with a woman is also true.
So the Apprentice is true.
Yeah.
That did happen. Could probably find the email somewhere.
Great.
Nickelodeon did happen, and I didn't have sex with a woman.
Oh, so I shouldn't have second-guessed myself. Oh, for
but
God's
like,
sake.
Not that, like, if I was 10 years old, it would make any difference, but me being, like, early 20s and me losing my virginity in my late teens...
Like, it would have been, like, last year.
It would have been, like, December 31st
yeah.
last year. It would have made... It wouldn't have made sense if I let it. For me, from where I come from and my understanding, is like, you know, 5 years ago for me, when I think I did lose my virginity, yeah, 5 or 6 years ago,
yeah,
it was way more accepting than what it was 10 years ago. So, like, I didn't have that you must sleep with a woman. And I was raised in a very.
Oh, I understand.
Do you know where I'm coming
saying.
From?
Like, yeah,
I was raised in like a lone parent family with just my mum and my brother.
Yeah.
And like, I am who I am and like, it doesn't matter. So, I never actually went through that. I must have sex with a woman. I didn't have a lad influence father.
Yeah. I just remember, I know for me that I remember getting to kind of the age of like 12, 13, and I knew that I was attracted to boys and men.
Aren't they great?
But, oh, I love boys.
So
but it didn't seem like a perceivable option to me that I could grow up and live my life as a gay man and have relationships with men and marry a man eventually. In my imagination, yes, I had these attractions to boys and men, but I still had to be with women. And I used to get so upset thinking about like, okay, I was like, I can marry a woman. You know, I could make a really nice female friend and we could get married. But then I was like, how on earth would I ever have sex with her? And I used to get like wound up and really upset about like the thought of having to do that.
Well, I mean, like, when you was 13, it was, like, 1955, right? So, like, you know, times were different then. Homosexuality was illegal. I think that's a valid point, though. Like, we do go through these struggles and, like, not to, like, preach to the choir, but, it like, we've all been there. I didn't feel as extreme as how you did, but
yeah.
I definitely went through the torment of am I gay or am I not?
Yeah.
But, like, the whole marriage thing, like, oh my God, when it was just civil partnerships, nothing against it, but I was like, we should legally be able to be married. And I was very pro that, very young.
Yeah.
And I was so like, you know, a woman and a man might be traditional, but fuck off. It's 2000 and whatever at the time.
Yeah.
Be, you know, do what you want to be and be who you want to be.
I forget how young you are, Will.
I'm literally 17. literally
17.
I'm not, but... by the way.
Well, speaking of 1955, we're going to be playing a little bit of Queers Throughout the Years.
Ooh,
after
okay.
this next song. So let's have a little bit of Pink and then we'll come back for that.
Running like a dog, fighting like a bitch too much, and you just can't stand it, baby. Even when I fall, you don't seem to give two shits, cause you're just too cool, baby. We could have it all, neither one of us would budge, cause we can't be wrong, baby. Folding up your arms, closing up your heart. I know you think it's me. Darkest before the light, and that's enough for me. Ships going down tonight, but it's always darkest before the light, and that's enough.
Your bae Pink.
Love Pink. That song means so much to me as well. I adore it.
How was she? God, she that was... made it that made it sound really seedy.
Why?
Like, how was she?
How was
that's
she?
What, yeah,
tell
no,
me about
sorry.
It. Sorry.
How was meeting her?
You know what? It's definitely a huge career highlight.
Yeah.
And not to be that like total wanker that's like, oh my god, I'm so proud. And like, it genuinely, like, when the email came through that it was happening, went to her hotel, she was over here promoting her album, doing X Factor, and then, like, we, you know, waiting downstairs, we've all done junkets before, and then, like, going back up, like, going upstairs, and she walked in, introduced herself by her full name, not Pink, Alicia Moore, and, like, Lila and I were, like, just, we weren't nervous, but we were so, like, because we've grown up, as we all have, listening to her.
Yeah.
Like, our other guests on the show, like, we all adore, but, like, they're quite recent artist, so for
absolutely.
Us Pink has been like, I literally listened to Pink when I was a child.
Yeah,
it's like to meet her and ask her a question, it was incredible. I actually rung my mother when I left.
Aww.
The interview and had a little tear down the phone.
Oh, Will, bless you.
No,
I would have done the same.
It was amazing. And yeah. She also, like, she's like 2 foot tall.
Aww.
So when I hugged her, I had to, like,
tiny little Pink
basically get on my knees and, like, hug her breasts. It was amazing.
Well, that sounds incredible.
It was delicious.
All right, are you ready for the game, Quiz Throughout the Years?
Let's go.
Okay, so in this game, I have some facts here about LGBT plus history.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out whether they are true or false.
Okay.
And this week's theme, for no particular reason, I promise this is nothing to do with you, Will.
Yeah.
This week's theme is food.
Food. Yeah.
Food. All right.
Why'd you say there's nothing to do with me? What are you trying to say?
Well, I just picked it at random. So I don't mean like, I pick food because Will loves his food or anything like that. 15-year-old
fat Will.
All right. So your first one. And do you like crisps, Will?
Oh, I'm a bitch for crisps.
Yeah? Okay. So I think you'll like this one. Your first fact or not fact. Over the years, many brands have tried to find unique ways to market to gay men. But nobody could have ever predicted the product Ruffles would have created. It was in an accidental discovery that they managed to create a packet of crisps that, when ingested, would cause a man's ass to naturally lubricate itself, ready for anal intercourse.
So you're telling me that there was a crisp that you could shove up your bum?
No.
No. Oh.
You eat it like normal. You ingest it.
and then it lubricates your...
And then it makes your ass nice and lubricated.
And you're asking me if that's true or false? I'm
asking you if that's true or false, yeah.
Okay, right. So I really hope it's... I hope it's... No, you must... You've got a sick mind. That must be you came up with that.
You think I made that up?
Yeah, you made that up.
So are you saying it's true or false?
I'm saying that statement is false.
You're wrong.
That it can't be true.
Absolutely true.
So you're telling me that a man could eat a crisp,
yeah,
and then he would naturally be ready to have anal intercourse with this lubrication.
Yeah. So basically, they were experimenting with like this new ingredient in the crisp, and when that ingredient goes through the human body, it creates like a fatty kind
slime.
Of liquid slime,
oh.
which would then be that would then come out quite quickly the other end as a clear liquidy discharge that was quite similar to lube. So they never actually like marketed this or put this on the market like, come on gays, get these crisps down. Yeah.
Come on girls, eat these crisps.
Yeah, they literally accidentally created a crisp that lubes your ass for you.
And are these crisps in a market?
They are not on the market.
Have you ever tried the crisps?
I would love to try the crisps just to, you know, give it a go.
What were they called?
I do not have that information in front of me.
I was going to say, I'm going to Amazon it later on.
I'll find them for you. I'll send
Amazon
them away.
Prime.
All right, would you like another one?
Yes.
Pineapple was incredibly popular during the 1980s, but sales of the exotic fruit began to plummet in the early 90s. In response, Dole, who are like a pineapple company type people,
yeah.
began advertising directly to gay men, throwing pineapple cabana parties in the gay districts of the biggest cities across the United States and releasing a series of adverts aimed to educate people on pineapple's semen-sweetening properties.
See, I'm going to say that's true.
You think that's true?
And I bet it's going to be false, but I'm going to say it's true because pineapple does make semen sweet.
Pineapple does make semen
it
sweet.
It does.
But do you really think Dole were like, we're going to educate people on this and try and get the gays to eat it?
Yes.
So you, is that your final answer?
I'm going to say true, but it's wrong. Go on, it's
just, absolutely wrong. It's completely
did you come up with that?
Yeah, I came up with that.
You are incredible.
You know, I have a weird mind.
You have many talents.
I do have many a talent. All right, your next one is, in the 1940s, the US military received fake intel from overseas that the consumption of peaches could turn you gay. As a result, tinned peaches were immediately removed from their army rations and replaced with alternative foodstuffs. The whole thing cost the US government millions of dollars and brought enormous embarrassment to the United States when the story was leaked to the international press.
And was that 1960?
The 1940s.
1940s.
Yeah, long time ago.
You know what? Well, you was there, babe, so... You know what? I'm going to say... You was a little toddler, wasn't you, babe? And I'm going to say... That's true, purely because, like, come on, that many years ago, everyone was an absolute idiot when it came to anything that wasn't white heterosexual. So I'm going to say that's true.
But imagine, like recalling all the peaches.
No, forget that. Imagine actually having the logic to say peaches turn you gay.
Yeah.
What a load of shit.
I know.
Like,
I know.
What was it? Like, the wars were in the 40s, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I have no idea. But yeah, sure. In the 40s, like, so you're worrying about peaches turning men gay?
Yeah.
And how ironic that peaches are now a gay symbol.
Oh, absolutely. So is that your final answer? Is that it's true?
It is true.
Getting them all wrong, Will.
You're misleading me with your eyes. You're misleading me.
Obviously, I made that up.
Oh, it could be true.
No, it literally could be true. Like, I would not be surprised if that story was true.
Well, exactly. Like, so last night I went and saw this play, right? The Twilight Zone,
yeah.
Like, which is incredible. And there is a scene in it which was around about the 1940s, 50s. And it was about how, like, they thought they were going to die from a nuclear explosion, whatever. Off tangent, and the way that they reacted in that time, the stuff that they would say, obviously it's acting, like, I mean, it was very racial at points, but like the stuff they were saying, it was like 1940s, that time, like, everyone was a bloody idiot. So, like, I would genuinely believe that peaches would have been recalled.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, it completely makes sense. All right, do you want another one?
Yep, I'm going to try and get this
Kieran,
one.
Do you want to get one right? That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Don't be shady. Don't be shady.
In 2012, a Chick-fil-A spokesperson openly spoke about their homophobic beliefs and their opposition to gay marriage. LGBT plus people began boycotting their food in response, and as a result, the fast food chain saw a 12% loss in sales that year.
When was this?
2012.
Yeah, it's true, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're just going straight in, yep. So confidently.
Always straight in, Callum.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Are you positive?
Yeah.
Because I really wanted you to get one right.
Just hit. Are you kidding me? I've come on this show and you're just teasing the hell out of me. This isn't fair. Can I have one more?
You can, but I'm gonna. That one was a little bit of a trick question. I'm gonna be honest.
Right, go on.
It's actually kind of sad because that entire thing is true, and they were super homophobic, and LGBT people did boycott, but they didn't see a 12% loss in sales. They actually saw a 12% increase in sales, which says a lot, you know, kind of about, you know, we often think that we are the majority, you know, liberal-minded people who think being gay is okay. We think we're the majority. And then you see something like that, and, you know, Donald Trump is literally the president of the United States.
We are literally not going into that. Really, really concerning. They saw a 12% increase.
Yeah.
You homophobic people. Anyway.
I know. It's the worst.
Moving swiftly on.
Would you like another one?
I'd like another one. I am going to get one right, and you're going to wink at me if it's true or false, because no one will ever see that you winked at me.
Okay. A banana cream pie was responsible for the downfall of one of the most prominent anti-gay activists in US history.
Repeat the banana bit one more time.
A banana cream pie.
Yeah.
Was responsible for the downfall of one of the most prominent anti-gay activists in US history. Thinking this through.
We'll go with true.
Why are we saying true, though, Will? I want to know.
I feel like the method behind how you've set this up is it's like true, false, true, false, true, false. Kind of, so I'm just going to say true.
Okay, is that your final answer?
If it's wrong, I am walking out of that studio. Best believe it.
It's 100% true.
Oh my god, contextualised to that.
I'm really proud. So this was Anita Bryant, and yep. She was very, do you know Anita Bryant? Not personally.
No, not yeah, you know.
You're not pals.
Been on Pop Buzz before, you know, sure.
She was very homophobic, she was very against same sex marriage, and she was very vocal about that as well. And she kind of was like one of the like faces of the kind of anti-gay movements at the time. And on live television, somebody threw a banana cream pie into her face.
Good.
And in response to that, she tried to take the moral high ground by saying, I forgive you for doing that. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray those gay demons out of you. She tried to take this moral high ground, which is what she always did. But her husband actually responded by afterwards going and throwing pies back, and that kind of undermined everything they kind of stood for in terms of forgiveness, because they didn't turn the other cheek, they responded with, you know, with retaliation. And that was kind of the beginning of kind of her being undermined. And then she ended up divorcing her husband after being so holier than thou, and she basically completely fell apart, and her entire movement fell apart, all starting from that banana cream pie.
So I've got, you know what, everyone can have their own thoughts, like this Anita, whatever. Absolutely have your own thoughts. This is what this planet's made of. But actually publicly disrespecting and offending people is like, and that is what it, that is what homophobia is. Like, that is, and when was this?
This was a long time ago. I don't have the exact dates with me. Or maybe I do. Wait, no, maybe I do. Maybe I do. 1977.
Was you in the audience?
I was there.
I'm gonna drag this.
I'm not that much older than you.
Sure.
A few years older than you.
Look, I found a weakness and I'm taking
whittling away at me.
You have taught me a lot.
Yeah, so there's a lot of messed up things happening in the world. I have one final one.
Yeah, go on. Come on. Let's get two.
Come on. A candy bar on a stick called the Popper Sucker had to be renamed in the 1920s after the gay community adopted the term Popper Sucker as an affectionate way of referring to one another. The name was then changed to Sugar Daddy, but to the company's frustration, the gay community appropriated that as well.
Sugar Daddy.
Sugar Daddy.
We all love a Sugar Daddy, don't we? I am going to say that is false.
Are you now?
Yeah, and you know what? The only reason why, and don't say it like that because you're tricking me up.
I am deliberately trying to fuck with you.
I was honest with you for two truths and one lie. I didn't trip you up, and you're trying to trip me up. I'm going to say that's false because, and the only thing that made me feel it wasn't right was the 1920s.
Oh, and why was that?
Like, I just don't think those two words would have been, like, around in the 1920s.
Yeah,
like Sugar Daddy's been around way longer than, like, this massive surge of gays the way in the past 10 years or whatever. Like, Sugar Daddy's been around forever.
But not thriving amongst the gays.
Yeah, I don't think Sugar Daddy was around when, like, Titanic was going down. Like, come on.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely correct.
Yes.
However, the candy bar did exist.
Yeah.
And it was renamed from the Papa Sucker to the Sugar Daddy. But it was nothing to do with the gays. I just added that in.
Was it in the 1920s?
It was in the 1920s.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, but it wasn't like...
You could literally go and buy a Sugar Daddy.
You could go and buy a Sugar Daddy.
Which is, again, doesn't make sense because the Sugar Daddy would be behind it for you, but...
Which is probably where the term Sugar Daddy came from, though.
Have you got a Sugar Daddy?
Oh, I wish. I wish. That would be great. All right, we're going to have an etiquette expert.
Yep.
And he's going to give us some dating advice to spruce up our dating lives
it's
and get
us
some
us out.
Men. So he will be joining us after this little song. This is exciting.
What's going to happen?
This is a Callum McSwiggan show. First, we're gonna have a little expert phone in.
Are we gonna be doing any of those sexual fantasies that you said earlier on, or whatever they're called?
Oh yeah, well, but that happens after the show.
Oh,
obviously.
Right. Can we film it?
We absolutely can. So we have the wonderful William Hansen on the line.
Great name.
And he is an etiquette expert, and he's going to give Will and I some advice. So let's get him on and see what he has to teach us. Hi, William. Are you there?
Hello, Callum. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I love your voice, by the way. A very well-spoken gentleman.
Well, it's very kind of you to say.
And I think that makes sense, seeing that you're an etiquette expert and all.
Well, one tries.
could you tell us a little bit more about, like, what being an etiquette expert actually entails?
Yes,
like,
what's
your day-to-day?
Yes, I go all around the world. I just came back from China yesterday evening, and I teach people how to behave in a variety of social and professional situations.
Okay. I'm not very good at behaving. I'm going to be honest with you. I have my tremendously good friend Will here with me, and we were hoping that you could give us a few tips and pointers on maybe like sprucing up our dating lives, because I can't speak for Will, but I've not been having a great deal of luck recently. And maybe you can identify where I've been going wrong.
Well, I can but try.
Good luck.
So do you want to talk about like my dating app itself? Should we talk about that?
Yes. So tell me a little bit about your app of choice and what you've got on there.
So I use an app called Chappie. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it, but I have to say that I have been off the dating scene for some years now, so I'm a little bit out of kilter. But tell me what Chappie does. I mean, imagine it does
so
what
it's,
the others
it, it's,
do.
It's very similar to Tinder in the terms of you can swipe left or right to the people that you like. There's a little thing on here, though, where you can say whether you're just looking for a bit of fun or whether you're looking for something a little bit more serious. And
right.
I currently have mine set to looking for something a bit more serious, and I think that's very grown up of me.
It's very grown up of you. Well done.
Yeah, well done me. I'm proud of myself.
Good.
And then, but in terms of my profile itself, like, I don't really have a great deal of information on here. You know how people like write a massive long bio and things like that?
Yeah.
Mine is very much, it literally says, my about you section is empty. How do you feel about that?
Oh, well, you need a little bit of something about you. I'm sure there's something interesting you could put if you delve the inner depths of your life. I'm sure you can put something, even if it's just a sentence. Don't have anything blank. I'm sure your life has not been hollow and vacuous.
Definitely hasn't. I'll tell you that, William. It definitely hasn't.
Well, no. You could write the odd little thing.
Yeah, but I'm not one to toot my own horn.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's difficult and to describe.
Well, why don't you get Will to write something for you?
Oh,
go on, give me a Chappie now.
Oh gosh, okay,
now.
I'm handing my phone over.
I love
over.
This app, and he's... I need to see how far right he is. Hold
oh,
on.
Come on, Will.
No,
be nice to me.
Right, okay.
Yes, I think you need to maybe write something in your notes section of your phone for approval before you put it in. Don't...
No, I'm.
Don't hand him over entire control of your phone.
I'm giving him entire control, is what I'm doing.
Right. Very trusting of you.
Well, I would say trust is something that it's a good thing for an, good etiquette.
It is a good
trust,
thing for a friendship. Yes.
Yeah. So Will and I are doing well, at least.
Good, you're doing well. Maybe you could date each other.
That will never happen, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I don't think that would work out.
So let's talk about your photograph. How many photographs can you have on Chappie? Is it just the one?
I think you can have five, and I'll let Will tell you about the photographs I have there.
You have got...
I've got my clothes on in them.
That's
you can have
good.
Six photos. So his lead photo is him smiling to the right with a hoodie on, and it's a very well-shot photograph. He looks very happy.
I think the hoodie might be putting people off.
Oh, do you? Do you think
the hoodie? It would put me off.
Okay.
It's a Jack Wills hoodie. It's not like a Primark jobby.
But it's still a hoodie.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not wrong.
The second.
May I ask, how old are you, Callum?
Oh, no, because you're going to judge me when you find out I'm 27 years old and still wearing hoodies.
Yes, never too old for a hoodie.
So what would you recommend that I should be wearing in my little dating app?
Well, a nice collared shirt, perhaps, and a jumper combination.
Gosh.
Something a bit more age appropriate.
Will is holding up a picture of me right now, and I am in a shirt, but I've got the buttons down, so I've got a little bit of my chest poking out.
Right. Well, one button, obviously, the top button undone. One button after that is fine. Two buttons after the top button is just louche.
Will you let me have two at a push?
No. Yeah, so it depends on the quality of the shirt.
Oh, it's a very nice shirt.
It's a salmon granddad collar shirt with two buttons undone.
Right, a granddad collar. Are they still a thing?
Oh, I suppose they're not, are they?
No. I think when I said collared shirt, I mean actually something with a collar.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Something that protects your neck.
Yeah, see, I'm not very good at dressing like, you know, like a... I'm not very good at dressing formally. I'm a very non-formal kind of guy.
Well, no, look, a collared shirt, and I'm not asking you to put a tie on, a collared shirt, even if you ditch the sweater, is hardly formal. So you could just pop a collared shirt on and a nice pair of jeans, jeans with rips in.
Oh, but I like rips in my jeans.
No, but it screams that you can't afford proper jeans.
Oh.
What about if that's Callum's aesthetic? Like if you're saying... put on, like, for example, for me, like, I wear anything basically. So if I was Callum and I was wearing shirts in every photo, that's not Callum's look. So is that like him being fake?
No, he needs to be true to himself. But I think by all means have a more casual photograph with a non-collar, as it were, maybe that hoodie. But don't have it as your lead photograph.
As your lead one.
You want to be able to see that if I were looking to date Callum or whoever I'm looking at Chappie, I want to see that they can behave in a variety of different social situations, not just sort of down the pub or in a gay bar.
Yeah, and I must say I am quite kind of casual in all of them, so maybe I should just have one of me looking a little bit more dapper.
Just a little bit, just a touch.
But can I be honest with you, William?
Mm.
If I was, scrolling away on Chappie and like a lovely gentleman, very nicely dressed in a nice shirt or maybe even a suit or whatever it would be, I don't think I would swipe right for them,
Really?
Is that a positive thing, swiping right? Is that you?
Yes,
you
that's the good thing. That's saying, yes, I would absolutely like to go on a date with you.
Right. Well, we're all they say that we are attracted to people that sort of almost have characteristics of ourselves, although then there's that opposites attract school as well. But again, just have your smarter photograph as perhaps photo two.
Yeah.
Let's just get it in there somewhere, I think. We need to... And also, what sort of quality... I mean, are these photos that you've taken on your phone?
These are beautiful, beautiful DSLR.
They're stunning.
Well, yeah, nice.
You see, because a lot of people some people might think... that you've just copied the photos off the internet and that you're not who you say you are.
So you need
photographs that are a bit more authentic and that your average person can connect to.
Yeah, so kind of like me, just like at home, jammy bottoms, top off, tub of Pringles in my hand, selfie jobby on the phone.
Why have you dropped jam on your bottoms?
You know what I mean. Pajama bottoms.
Oh, yes. Well, if you're in your pyjamas, that would be fine.
Jam on your bottoms. Oh, my God, that was amazing.
I really like you, William. I think we should be friends.
Well, please, you can contact me on whatever medium, but not Chappie, because obviously... I have a boyfriend, so I'm taking
him. Oh, congratulations. How long's that been going on?
Oh, about 72 years. No, about... I don't know. 2.5 years, but we were best friends before, so I feel like I've known him for longer.
That's so nice. Because I was going to say, when you met him, were you wearing, like, a nice shirt and stuff? But I guess if you were friends first, he probably saw you in a hoodie or two, didn't he?
No, I don't. Well, I don't own one. I did at school because obviously I was a school child.
Yes.
But after that, no, I haven't. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe for Valentine's Day, I'll pop a hoodie on. See
special.
If it gets them going.
Yeah, because people get like I call it like boyfriend clothes. When you go to the airport and you see all those like lovely little couples and the guys are always kind of dressed down and they're kind of dressed in their slacks because they're going to get on a plane and it's going to be uncomfortable. And it's like that nice, like cozy clothes. There's something very boyfriendy about it. And maybe that's why I'm kind of drawn towards it while I'm swiping away on my apps. Maybe.
Yes, I think you need room. You know, if you start off at that level, when you then get a boyfriend, it doesn't leave anywhere else to go. So if you sort of go in a few notches above, then you can drop it down and then wear the boyfriendy clothes at an appropriate juncture.
Yes, I think that's tremendous advice. And what about my bio itself, though? I'm not sure what I should be.
What are your hobbies?
We
can talk about.
I have this radio show. I do that.
Mm, yes.
I make YouTube videos on the internet. Dabble in a bit of photography now and then.
Okay. Would you try and avoid mentioning your jobs? Anything that is a profession, because people are dating you, not your job. So, for example, when I was on the dating apps, I wouldn't put etiquette consultant because it still is really a turnoff. So you don't want to put that. It's my job as well. And people aren't dating my bank balance or my job. They're dating you. So we want to put your hobbies, and maybe you could write a little poem, or you could write your favourite poem for someone else's.
Bit of E.E. Cummings in there.
Yes, bit of that. and whatever you want to put. But something about your personal life rather than your professional.
Yeah. I really like. So what would you say, for instance?
Me? I like cooking. And I like reading books on the royal family. Kelsey
Priest. Oh, okay. Yeah, because then that also, like, if somebody did then, if you were in the dating game and somebody wanted to have a conversation with you, they could ask you all about that.
Yes, you want to, at the end of the day, you're trying to find, if I were hitting people up on dating profiles, you want to find something to talk about. You don't just want to go, hello. You want to say, what was your opinion on Princess Margaret? Or something like that. You want to find common ground.
Sure.
And so you need to give them that information in order to establish that common ground with you and not just, hey, how are you doing?
So
which,
I could be
let's
like,
be honest, no one's going to reply to that.
I could be like, hey, I love Netflix, and then that, you know, that's a good conversation starter.
Yes, and what's your favourite thing on Netflix? The Crown?
Right now? No, not The Crown. Not The Crown. A bit of Riverdale, full of beautiful...
Lovely.
Beautiful boys.
If I message someone on Chappie saying, what do you think of Margaret or whatever, I would not get a response. Like, I would definitely not get a response.
I would reply to you. If somebody's asked me, if somebody's messaged me that, I'd be like, oh, that's a really different thing that somebody's asked me. I'd have to Google Princess Margaret. I know nothing about her.
Well, she's dead.
Not a great conversation starter, that one.
2002.
Callum. William, what dating apps was you on before you met your boyfriend?
Well, I didn't do Grindr. I did something for a better quality of person. I did something called Grandr.
Is that really a thing?
What's that?
You've made that up.
Not really a thing.
You absolutely made
that up. No, I've made that up. No, I did Tinder briefly, but to be honest, I didn't have much success with dating apps, but I did do Tinder. And what was there another one?
There's been so many. I've lost track, honestly.
What are your thoughts on Grindr?
I went on it once and was sent all sorts of things, and I decided it wasn't for me.
Yeah, and I know what you mean by all sorts of things. I've had all sorts of things myself.
I recently just downloaded it, and I now know why I am not on it anymore. Well, actually, I was on it this morning, but why I'm going to delete it again soon.
I don't think we can call it a dating app.
Well, in some ways you can. Like, I have met people off the app and dated them, and I have also met friends who, people that are now very good friends of mine, but it's like this whole, like, I don't know, like the way that you just jump on, like, to your point earlier on with just saying hello, like, a hey on Grindr is like a, are you free, basically. It's like this mentality is insane.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way, if someone just walked up to you at a party and went, hey, and said nothing else, you'd think they're a bit weird. Same thing goes on in the digital world as well. You want to start with something a little bit more profound in order to get the conversation going.
No, absolutely. And I think people do act differently online. I think people should try and act a bit more like they do in the real world.
But I guess it's good for, like, it's like a safe place, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not confident in person, saying hey on an app, because sometimes that hey could be like a, hey, how are you? But they just are nervous to ask you because you're gorgeous.
Yeah. Very good.
Not for us, but...
Well, I feel we've learned a lot here. So, William...
Well, I feel we've scratched the surface.
Well, yeah. But that,
how long
that's
you
a
got?
Good start. It's a good start. So, wait. I'm just going to go back through what we've learned here. So, I need a collared shirt in at least one of my pictures.
Yes.
I need to tell them something, a little bit about myself in my bio that isn't to do with work.
Correct.
So, my love for Netflix, perhaps.
Yes.
And start a conversation that I would start in the real world if I was walking up to somebody in a party, rather than just being like, hey, or asking about dead members of the royal family.
Yes, although you should really research Princess Margaret, because she did have rather interesting love life, so I think you'd enjoy her.
Okay, I'll look forward to enjoying her.
Good.
Well, William, you have been absolutely amazing, and for our lovely, lovely listeners, if they want to go ahead and follow you, that would be, where would that be?
Well, don't follow me in the street, but you can follow me on Twitter, which is at William Hansen, and that's Hansen spelt as in umbop.
As in umbop. Love that.
Yes, but I'm not related.
Well, William, you've been amazing. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so, so much for coming on.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God, what a lovely man.
I love William.
I feel like I would love a nice green peppermint tea with him and chat about my date in life.
Yeah, and I genuinely feel like he could help me find the love of my life.
I disagree on that, but
no, because I feel like I've been like looking in all the wrong places, and I feel like William might, you know, I bet he'd have a friend who'd be like some like handsome guy who's like, yeah, I reckon.
No.
No, absolutely not.
I think for you personally, like, because I know what you like. I know you very well as a person. I think you're one of those people that will find that person when the time is right.
Yeah.
Outside of forced, like apps, like forced situations. That's why I'm like really interested in doing something around about apps. Anyone wants to talk about them, hit me up. But with dating apps, I feel like it's so forced, and like, and you've got like this. You know, you feel like you have to achieve something from it, and like if someone doesn't respond to you, so I feel like for you, you will meet someone when the time's right, and you'll have this insane, crazy love affair.
Aww,
but I reckon it'll be more organic.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because like literally every single guy I've ever fallen for, or even every single guy I've had like a massive crush on, it's always been organic. Somebody who's just kind of whirlwinded into my life.
Exactly. Dating apps don't work. I've dated so many people off dating apps, and like it, like one relationship was from a dating app, didn't work out, was longer than a short-term fling. But
yeah,
it doesn't. I think you need to meet people organically, and I think you need to really get to know someone before you seal the deal.
I think you might be right. By seal the deal, do you mean sex?
No, sex in the gay world is always before the first date.
Yeah. No, it 100% is. In every single one of my experiences.
Which all my girlfriends don't get. They're like, you literally have sex before you've even dated.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
why? Why is that a problem?
I enjoy it. Like, it's a nice way to say hello.
And goodbye.
Absolutely. Right, let's have some... Oh, I mean, this works nicely. Let's have some sex on the beach.
Yay. Dig out them woes.
Come on, there's a party tonight.
Real and crucial people. Original King Lover talking upon the microphone. Yes, me come like Al Capone when me sing.
I wanna have sex on the beach. Come on, move your body. Sex on the beach.
Dig out them, dig out them.
Girl, I wanna hear you sing.
I wanna have sex on the beach. Come on, move your body. Sex on the beach. I wanna have sex on the beach. Come on, there's a party. Sex on the beach. Come on, there's a party tonight.
means everything I say. Yeah, ding dong, I ring dong. Come baby, come, no you can't go wrong. Do the wild thing, take a little swim. Girl, I'm gonna make you sing.
Dig out them, dig out them, dig out them, whoa. Them I like to have fun now. Dig out them, dig out them, dig out them, ee.
Girl, I'm gonna make you sing.
I wanna have sex on the beach. Come on, move your body. Sex on the beach. I wanna have sex on the beach. Come on, there's a party. Sex on the beach. Come on, there's a party tonight.
Dig out them, dig out them, dig out them. I like to have fun now. Dig out them, dig out them, dig out them, ee. Them a humpy, shake them bumper today. All of the girl with the sexy body. Hold up on no hand in the air, make me see. Jump and check out and wiggle up a little. All the love in a this party.
I wanna have sex on the beach. Come on, move your body. Sex on the beach.
Dig out them, dig out them, dig out them.
I wanna have sex on the beach.
Such a good song.
What
an
iconic song. Every time that comes on holiday.
Right? It reminds me of being a little kid on the beach. Wait, that made that sound wrong, didn't I?
We're going to make that sound better by saying, when you was a little kid in the 1940s on the beach in your stripy little underwear. Yeah.
Yeah. I really wish William was still here for this next game.
You should get him into the studio.
We should get him here. It would be brilliant.
What is the next game?
It's porn or not porn.
Oh, yes. Go on.
So, this game, I have five lovely little sound bites here. And some of these are from videos of the pornographic variety.
Gay or straight?
A mix, probably. You know, I've not heard these yet either.
Okay.
So this is also very exciting for me. But I do have the answers in front of me.
Of course.
And this time, since it's a new year, it is 2018. Some of these are about people carrying out their New Year resolutions.
Sure.
So it's either porn or people doing their New Year resolutions.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Are you ready for your first little clip?
Will? Yeah. Mum, turn off now.
No more listening, Mum. Come on.
Callum McSwiggan.
Oh, that's
on Foo Bar Radio.
Porn.
I think I've got my sound effects jumbled up here, William. should we give that another go?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's try again. There we go.
Is that it? Play it again.
Yeah, that's your clip.
One more time, because I can hear something in the middle. That's porn, because I can hear like a tick clap or something.
A tick clap.
I can hear.
Yeah, but that, you know, that could be, you know, what could it be if it wasn't porn? She could be, I don't know what she's moaning about. She's been very vocal.
She could be walking up a flight of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
She could be
cutting vegetables up for her New Year detox.
Do you make sounds like that when you're cutting up your vegetables?
Absolutely.
Oh, this carrot is so hard.
Yeah.
No, that's porn.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, go on, I'm wrong. Yeah, of course I'm wrong.
You're always wrong. And I think you've got more wrong answers than anyone we've had before.
I am more than happy to own that. I will walk out of that building with my head held high. I don't care.
No, but I feel like you can definitely bring this back.
Sure.
So that wasn't porn. That was a woman breathing heavily after her exercise.
What was the clap?
I don't know. Let's have another listen. Now we're visualizing her. She's just, you know, she's worked out. She's breathing heavy. Let's visualize as we listen to this.
Yeah. No, there's a tick clap. There's a tick clap or there's a ball smack in the middle of that. There is.
Maybe there's someone popping one out in the back, you know?
Was it you?
Always me.
Great.
Always me. All right. Do you want your next clip?
Yeah.
Well, she's having a good time, isn't she?
One more time.
She kind of sounds like a ghost.
Okay, so it's either she's either like having the sex,
yeah,
or she's getting in a very hot jacuzzi and she's like, ah, oh, like, I'm going to say it's sex.
But do you, is that the noise someone would make in a jacuzzi? In a public jacuzzi?
Go on. Well, I thought the first one was a tit clap and it wasn't. So, you know, who knows at this point?
All right, so you're saying this is porn?
This is porn.
You're absolutely correct. This is from a very lovely video called Innocent Blonde Girl is Fucked Hard and Moans Loudly. I like that they're very to the point with the way they name things.
Yeah, it's a bit full on, isn't it?
It's a little bit full on.
Was it shown in Cineworld or Odeon?
Probably Cineworld and maybe View as well.
View. Oh, yeah. View spelt V-U-E.
V-U-E. Maybe Shoreditch House as well. You know.
20 quid a ticket.
Would you like your next clip?
Yes.
Okay, that is. That was it. That's all.
One more time. Not porn. Getting off the sofa. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a very different noise you made than he's making. Oh, I kind of see. I know. I'm seeing more like a gentleman, like kind of like falling back into the sofa, like, oh, like it's been a long day. Oh.
Yeah, I get that. Like beer in hand, yeah, remote in like, the left hand
in his pants, not in a sexual way, just kind of like, oh.
Oh, he's got to bring it back down.
Long day.
Yeah, that is not porn.
You think that's not porn? You're wrong. It's porn. It's queerly.
Head up of losing.
It's queerly.
Queerly.
Queerly. It's clearly squirting cum with loud moaning.
Play that again.
Squirting cum with loud
cum
moaning.
Yeah, cum shot. Yeah, sure.
Like, oh, like straight onto the lower back.
Oh, is that your preference?
No, absolutely not.
What is your preference?
Anywhere in the kind of, anywhere in the mouth will do. Anyway.
For God's sake.
Right, let's have to the next little clip.
Sorry? One more time. What is that sound at the start? That can't be a blowjob.
Oh, God. That I really...
She's... Go on, one more time. So the cough at the end is just like a generic cough. So she is... What she's doing... I did this on holiday last year.
You know, there's
like,
you now?
You know, yeah, I did exactly that noise. You know, like the Turkish baths where like, you walk through like the water... Like
the, oh,
and
I
there's
see.
Like there's like stuff on the floor. I'm gonna say there's like cherries or grapes on that floor.
What?
And then that the sound at the start is her, and then when she's getting out, she's going.
Right. So like, just tell me that a thing. So like, how is that a New Year's resolution for a start, Will?
Treat yourself. Totally forgot the New Year resolution bit.
By walking through a Turkish bath while treading on grapes.
Grip. Yep. What's your problem? I didn't judge you for all your sexual preferences. Don't judge this poor lady for walking through a Turkish bath full of grapes and making it sound like a blowjob. I'm telling you now, that cannot be a blowjob or whatever the right word is for a man going down on a woman. That can't be.
It can't be that. Right.
It well, is, isn't it? So I'm going to guess not porn.
You're absolutely correct.
Thank God for that.
It's a woman eating vegan spaghetti.
Where did you find this?
Not whatever that hell you just said was.
It happened. I did it last year and it was great. I mean, they weren't grapes. I can't remember what it was, but it was some kind of fruit.
Would you like to hear the woman eating vegan spaghetti one more time?
Yes, please.
Now that we know what she's doing.
Right, so if that's what vegan spaghetti sounds like, I am 100% never going vegan. That you know what that does sound like?
Yeah.
Flip-flops when you're at the swimming pool.
Oh, the little... Yeah. That's what that sounds like when the water gets... Well, the very lovely assistant producer Toby had to trawl the internet to find these clips, and so he sat through a lot.
He had a great job.
He went looking for that woman eating her vegan spaghetti.
So he actually like looks at porn at work, and that's deemed as
that's his job. Yeah,
it's not in the contract. Like, if you look at porn at work, you're going to get fired. Like, he doesn't get fired.
No, he's like he's encouraged to do it.
Oh my God, where is Toby? He's a great guy.
Let's. I don't know where Toby went to find this clip, but here we go.
Oh, okay.
Just a short little.
One more time. So that could be, you know, when you go to the park.
Here we go.
Listen, hear me out. You know, when you go to the park, you remember that like thing that you would stand on that you spin around?
Yeah.
Like you could have loads of kids on it at one point.
Like a
magic roundabout. Let's say that. Whatever. Like, you stand on that. This chick has stood on that, and the friend has pushed it too hard, so she's gone.
Again, Will. How is that a New Year's resolution?
Going out more to the park. I feel like you are so judgmental when you have revealed a lot about yourself that I would never judge, because I'm accepting person. If someone feels like their New Year's resolution is to go to a park and make that
that noise
sound, that's fine.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be porn. Go on.
Yeah, do you think it's porn?
It's porn.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is just titled Screaming Japanese.
Sure.
And I wouldn't say she's screaming. I think she's just more of a...
Sounds like she's not having the best of times.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, no, I think she's having a bit of fun.
The grapes are back! It's a swallow bit at the end that she makes, swallowing her vegan pasta or spaghetti, whatever it is.
Well, that's enough of that game.
I enjoyed that.
I do love that game, but it's time for a bit of... Time for a bit of J-Lo, Will.
Yes!
Here she is.
Don't lose.
It's time for sex confessions, Will.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
So lots of our lovely listeners have been sending in their sex confessions. Just wondering if you had anything you might like to confess before we go on to those.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's like so much of a confession. I get. Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But like, I actually only told the person this the other day, to which they didn't know. So when I did lose my virginity to a boy, to clarify, my mum actually interrupted it.
No.
My sweet, dear, beautiful mother, who I adore with my heart, she interrupted me losing my virginity.
But you were like under the covers, or were we talking like...
I mean, okay, I'm just going to like caveat all of this. Like, she didn't physically walk in.
Okay.
Free house.
Yeah.
You know, let's get down and dirty. And then all literally, like, is this loud, like, on the front door. She obviously forgot her key. So, it's like, when it's gay sex, it's like Transformers, right? You're like...
Yeah.
So, like, absolutely. We were like, what? I don't even know what to do. So, like, I pegged it down, let her in.
Oh, my gosh.
Obviously looked harassed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But have you ever had the conversation with your mother?
I swear I told her at the time.
Oh, like you were
at
like...
the time. Yeah, I'm sure I did. Not like after. I didn't walk downstairs like, you just fucked up my virginity. I didn't say that, but like I did. I told her like at least a week ago, because it just came up randomly.
Yeah, okay.
And she wasn't mortified, but she was like, I didn't do that. I was like, you 100% did do that. But like, I've never been caught having sex.
Like, I've been caught before,
because you're not sneaky enough. And for someone who's a little bit of a sneaky Schneider, anyway, you should be able to get away with it.
No, I've been caught a fair few times.
Can you elaborate on one?
The one I'm thinking of, I absolutely can't.
Oh God!
Under any circumstances. okay. What have I done? Okay, I'll give you a different sex confession. And this, I may have given this away on the radio before, so if you are listening again, you may have heard this little one before. But one time, I was giving oral sex.
Yep.
But there's a position, right, where you lie flat on the bed and you have your head leaning over the back of the bed. So your head's kind of dangling off the bed, but the rest of your body's on the bed. Are you visualizing it?
Not of you, but sure. No, so you're the layee, you're laying down.
So I'm lying down on my back, my head is going over the side of the bed.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
And then, like, my mouth is open, and then there's a gentleman there.
One or two?
Just the one.
Just the one.
Just the one, Will. And he was getting pretty rough, and he was getting pretty carried away. And I kind of like put my hands up to stop, as in like, oh no, that's yeah, too much now.
Too right, yeah.
But you know, when you put your hands up, sometimes it can take a couple of seconds for them to kind of realize you're saying stop.
Yeah. You need a safe word.
So I can't say a safe word. My mouth's full, isn't it?
Put something in your mouth now and try and say a safe word.
Okay. I'm going to get some grapes. What's my safe word?
What is your safe word?
Pumpernickel.
Sure. Right. Ready? So imagine this guy is being this rough and tumble with you, and you're put. So
I'm filling my mouth with grapes. Hang on.
So your hands are up.
I need a lot of grapes, isn't there, for it to stimulate the same thing.
See, I can still hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but hang on. Pumpernickel.
Right. So I would be like, immediately must stop. I have to stop. Keep chewing. Make sure you swallow.
Oh, that's a lot of grapes. Yeah, so this was happening. So I put my hands up, and I don't manage to tell him to stop in time, and my gag reflex is going. But I'm not so worried about it. And then I kind of 100% threw up all over his penis.
You've actually told me this before.
Have I?
We've been drunk and you told me that before. So what I want you to do is I want you to walk me through the moment that you knew that you were about to throw up. One, how you felt, and two, what was his reaction when you threw up on the gentleman's penis?
He was somebody I'd known for a long time, I'll say that.
It's not me, by the way.
And we had sex many times before.
Yep.
And he actually was really good about it. He wasn't, like, I'm sure he wasn't thrilled, but he didn't act disgusted. He didn't, like, judge me or make fun of me or anything like that. I was absolutely mortified. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And we're not talking, bless like, you. It wasn't like a puddle. Like it was just like a little bit.
Oh, babe.
Like, just a little bit. It was just a little bit. I promise.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny little bit. But he was supportive about it. And I think that's how you have to be in those situations, because I think sex is weird and like there's bodily fluids and all sorts going all over the place. And sometimes like things can get messy and things like that can happen.
It happens. Also, I'm sure this guy is a lovely guy. Absolutely. But if it was a bit too rough, then you're going to gag.
Yeah, you're like, you know, if you're gonna do that to somebody, there are sometimes consequences.
Someone threw up on a date with me once, and I don't know who actually knows this, I actually had to physically go back to his home because there was no way for me to get back to my house. After he threw up, I mean, like, projectile vomited everywhere on the train. It was mortifying. Like, I've never been so embarrassed.
So you're, like, covered in vomit.
I luckily missed because I like pushed him because he was like, I'm going to throw up. He was like, all I've eaten today is Weetabix, which was hilarious because I'm gluten free. So he was like, we don't eat wheat, don't touch it. And then he threw up all over the toilet door and then like went in the toilet and obviously was just making horrendous amounts of noises. And I had to go back and I text my friend, who I will call her out, Jordan in Australia. She's in Australia at the moment. To come and pick me up at like 7 o'clock in the morning, which she agreed to, but she went out and got drunk, didn't she? So when I texted her at 7 o'clock, she was like, I think she said, I've just got home or something. So I literally had to lay there like, this guy, like, honestly, it was like awful.
That sounds like the
worst.
So
traumatic. Nothing happened.
That sounds so bad.
Traumatic.
All right, so we've got lots of lovely sex confessions. Well, I say lovely, wait until we read them. But lots of lovely people have sent in their sex confessions. So let's have a little look at some of these. Before we do read them, if you do want to send in a sex confession, we've still got time to receive more. So do send those in to callum@foodballradio.com. And if we don't have time to read them today, then we can always read them next time. So do keep sending them in because our ears and our eyes are always open. All right. The first one. 99.9999% of the sex I had with one of my exes was in his parents' bed.
Oh, no.
His choice. We also had sex in their shower and bathtub.
So shower and bathtub are fine, but why parents' bed?
I don't know, because, like, maybe it's, like, the fear of getting caught makes it hotter. Oh, let's go and have sex in the parents' bed. Or maybe it's just because the parents' bed was a bigger bed. Maybe it was for logistical reasons. But to me, I would be like, that is the last place I would ever want to have sex. Ever.
I've never had sex in my mother's bed.
No, me either. And I wouldn't want to.
You have, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I genuinely haven't. I genuinely have not ever had sex in my parents' bed. And I kind of want more information with this one. I wish this person was here so they could like give us a little bit more about why that choice was. And they've also not said like how they felt about it either.
Also, they may have been living at home and they may, here we go, they may have been sharing their room with a sibling.
Yeah, so there could have been another person there.
Yeah, meaning that they may have had to have had sex.
Yeah.
In their parents' bed. You know, there's so much more to people than what perceives the eye.
Or, you know, go out and have sex in the woods.
No.
No.
Get like a chilly willy.
No, yeah, but that's all part of the fun of it, isn't it?
So you would be happy having a chilly willy whilst having sex? Meaning like,
I have had a chilly willy. Oh, you mean like really small? No, because it's not going to be like, I know like when you're cold, it like shrinks up. But if you're aroused, all the blood flushes to it anyway. and it would still be like, it would still get erect. And I've had sex outside loads of times, and there's never been an issue.
I'm not going to confirm or deny I have.
Well, we know what that means, Will. All right, so, I mean, cool. If you were both enjoying yourselves, then great. Your parents probably weren't best pleased, though.
Do they know?
They probably don't know.
Tell us.
And they probably shouldn't ever know. I don't want them to ever find out. All right, should we do another one? Okay, this one is...
Ooh.
I love this one because the subject line of the email just says horny virgin. So I don't know where we're going with this one. Would you like to read it, Will? You've got such a lovely reading voice.
I really don't, but sure, thanks. Okay, so subject is horny virgin. I'm 21 and I really, really, really like sex, but I haven't had it yet, not because I'm saving myself for the perfect person, but just because I want someone I could trust and I don't want a committed relationship. Sad. I want something casual with someone I trust, and living in a conservative environment doesn't help, and I'm not brave enough to fight everyone I know and their beliefs just because I want to have this experience. I'm kind of waiting and hoping that someday I'll meet someone I fancy, and luckily by that time I'll want a relationship. Is that stupid? No, that is not stupid.
Not stupid
that
at all.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's really, really nice, and I like as well that it's you want something casual with someone you trust. I feel like
absolutely
that isn't something you hear very often.
It also goes back to the point that we were saying earlier on about drinking blood and stuff. Do whatever, like...
For the people just tuning in now.
Curveball. Do what makes you happy. Like I'm going to sound like a bloody relationship advice expert here, which I'm not. But, like, do what makes you happy. So if, for example... I mean, like, personally, I feel like 21's a bit old to lose your virginity. Personally.
Yeah.
I feel like it is something... Not that you need to get out of the way, but I think it is, like... I think... Like, the longer that you leave it, you're making it so much more than what it is.
Making it a bigger deal
It can be, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, like, you really, really have to meet the right person, the right pheromones, the right chemicals, the right, as in, like, in your body, not chems. you have to find the exact same compatible person to have, in my personal opinion, to have the most amazing sex ever. So, like, I think the longer that you leave it, it's worrying, but... Her or he, I assumed it was a she.
Or they,
yeah, true that. I think their points are right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not stupid at all.
No, and I not only do I not think it's stupid, but I also think it's unbelievably healthy because I kind of hear two things. I hear people who just want to go and have sex and lose their virginity and they don't care who with. They just want to have sex with somebody. And then I hear people who want to fall in love and they want it to be the most romantic thing and they want to have sex with the person that for the first time that they're going to spend the rest of their lives with. And it's, which is, I think it's very unrealistic. But whereas this, like losing it with something casual with someone I trust, for me is like, if I could go back in time and have my perfect losing my virginity, like, with like a best friend who I found really hot or something would be like the perfect thing for me because it would be like, you know, you have that trust and that support and you feel like you're in a safe environment, but you also get to have really great sex, but there's not all this like weight tied to it. And there's not that, oh, now I've lost my virginity to you. We have to stay together and we have to build a life together. It's just like, this is a thing. This is an experience we're going through together. And we do so many experiences in lives with our friends. Why not? Sex.
But like, don't you think virginity is just so picked up? Like,
it's not a thing. It doesn't exist. Like, virginity is not a thing.
Like, when I was at school, oh my God. I mean, I got like harassed and like, won't even go into it about being gay. So then when it came to me like coming out and being like, look, yo, I'm gay, like, you all called it. To then it being like, oh, did you lose your virginity? What was like losing your gay virginity like?
Yeah,
it's like, it's not like and this does not like reflect the person that I am, but it is not a big deal in my opinion. Like, and I'm not saying you should go and give it out to anyone, you should at least, you know the person, but like, trust me, you're gonna have sex with a lot of people that are shit, so it doesn't, do you know what I mean? We all have been there, everyone's been there. Not this person, but we've all been there. And, like, sometimes sex can be shit. So, like, don't pick up your virginity.
And that's the thing. Like, nobody goes, oh, my God, I'm going to go scuba diving for the first time. I have to do it with the perfect person and it has to be perfect in every single way. And it's like, no, the first time you go scuba diving, it's going to be shit. You're not going to know what you're doing. You're going to be faffing about with all this equipment.
Exactly.
It's going to be confusing.
You need to practice before you learn.
Absolutely. Like, go in, learn to scuba dive, and then once you've learned your scuba diving, then you're going to have great scuba diving sessions that you'll remember, and you're going to see all these fucking, like, tropical fish and shit. Like, this is like, ridiculous metaphor, but
I don't think I had what I would this is so shady. I don't think I would confidently say I was having good sex until years after losing my virginity.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, and I would say so too. Actually, I can confidently say that because I know until, you know, until I didn't kind of realize that I was a side, a gay man who doesn't enjoy anal sex, until I was 23 years old. I started having sex at 16 years old.
God, when was that? Like the 80s or something? keep going.
So I was having sex for 7 years before I realized that the thing that everyone was saying I should be doing, and I was doing because that's what everyone was telling me to do, that I didn't enjoy it.
You were a non-side, so you were like top and bottom?
Yeah, so I was being a top and I was being a bottom because, you know, I was kind of told that's what I had to do. So for seven years I was doing that.
This is like, I was having this incredible conversation with someone that I met not long ago. You know, Joe that we know.
Oh, lovely
Joe. Bedford, we love you. One of her friends came over from, I think, LA, and it was my leave and drinks at my previous job, and we were talking about, like, the difference between top, bottom, side, verse, power bottom, whatever you want to call it. And there is so much stigma attached to each one.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's ridiculous. And absolutely. Like, when I was younger, like, it was instilled in my brain, not by anyone in particular, that I had to be a bottom because of the way that I was. I ain't no bottom.
What, because of, like, your personality and your traits and things? People were just like, you have to be a bottom, and that's...
Yeah,
and you
because
have to
I,
fulfill
at
that
the
role.
Time, I mean, I know I am slightly at occasions, not that there's a problem. At the time when I was younger, I was a lot more feminine.
Yeah.
And it was like, you must be a bottom. And it was like, are you actually kidding me? It's honestly, it's disgusting.
But now we're on the other side of that. Now we have kind of, like, realised who we are, and we know what we like, and we know how to have good sex. Now we're on the other side of that. It seems so obvious. But when you're in it at the time and you get all these pressures around you and you're having sex for the first time and people are being like, oh, you have to be a bottom and things like that, you can really get wrapped up in that whole little world, and it really does feel like you kind of have to conform. And I think it really does... It can take a lot of time to kind of learn yourself and learn
it's
what
hard.
You really like. And at the end of the day, sex is about you and the other person. And if, you know, the only thing that matters is that you're enjoying it and they're enjoying it, and you're sharing something together. And it doesn't have to be romantic sharing. You can just be sharing it for fun.
I think you need to have a tick list as well.
A tick list?
One of my friends has got a huge tick list.
Like drinking blood, that kind
sure.
of
sure. Yeah. To be fair, that friend that I'm referring to
probably
would.
Yeah.
And they have ticked a lot off, and they are very confident in what they like and what they don't like.
Mm.
And I am all for that person doing that.
But when you say a tick list, this is like a list of things that need to happen during one sexual encounter?
Through the years. So I'm talking like, the person that I'm referring to is a female.
Yeah.
So sleeping with women, sleeping with men, sleeping with a drag queen, with like different ethnicities, sleeping with like, do you know what I mean? Like, the list is like endless. Like,
and it's just about being open and having all kinds of different sexual encounters.
Yes, because that's what I'm like. That's my point. Like, you have to have a lot of sex to know what good sex is, and you have to have a lot of sex to know what you like and what you don't like. When I was 18 and started having sex, I had no idea what I liked. 6 years later, I know what I like.
Yeah, it takes time. It does. And I think it does for everyone. I don't think anyone knows what they like. You have to learn through experimenting and things like that. You can't
Sadly.
Just know. Nobody just knows. I don't think that's a thing. Well, Will, that brings us to the end.
No, I don't want to go.
I know. I was really, really enjoying having you on the show. And like I said, I was really, really excited for so long about having you on, because this has been an absolute pleasure. And you are such a wonderful, like, encouraging, motivational person. And it's
thank you.
And you're funny too, even when you bully me about my age, which isn't
nice.
Yeah,
but, you know, older people need to be brought back down to earth.
Oh, I hate you a little bit.
No, you don't. You love me and I love you too.
I do love you. If people listening want to find you, where can they do that?
They can find me at Harday, H-A-R-D-A-Y, on Twitter and Instagram, purely because my surname's Hardy, and I thought when I was a teenager that Harday was cuter, and I've just never dropped it.
It absolutely isn't cuter. It's the worst.
I know, it's not like... And I actually asked on both platforms for at Hardy, and they both refused, given that I also used to work at Twitter.
Heartbroken. Heartbroken.
Fuming. You wait. When I'm on ITV, I'll get those handles.
Well, everyone absolutely should go and follow you because I think you're hilarious and I love everything you're doing with Pop Buzz and everything. You're doing great. And people should love you.
And people love you too.
Yay. Okay. We're going to end this show with a bit of pizza by Martin Garrix.
Yay.
See you later.